Welcome. I'm Victoria Schnepps, and I am delighted to bring you the Power Women. And today we have a wonderful Power Woman who is Zibby Owens. And Zibby, like I have Schnepps Media, she has Zibby Media. And her wonderful organization includes podcasts that deal with moms. How did you phrase it? What is it, Zibby?
The podcast is Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
I love that. I love that. And she also publishes books. And one of them she's going to be talking about with us is being serialized in some of my media. And I think they were so powerful. I wanted to get the message across and then people can buy the whole book. And then she has a bookshop in Santa Monica, one of the most beautiful places on earth. Lucky Zibby. Welcome, Zibby.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a delight to have you with me because we also have something in common. We both have four children. And here we have these media companies that we have created and run as, you know, you're the CEO. My son is my CEO. I'm just the president of my company and founder. Yeah. And so, you know, Zibby, I know that who influenced me into being who I am. And I was wondering if you could share with us who influenced you to help you have, shall I say, the guts, the chutzpah to be able to create something so special as Zibby Media?
Oh, thank you. I have to credit, I know this is a probably commonly heard answer, but it's really my parents and also my grandparents. My father is an entrepreneur in his own right. He started an investment company, not quite as creative and fun in some ways, but he started a company when I was 9, and I got to watch him innovate and build and try new things and fail and try again and try something new. And I had that model of resilience and hard work and entrepreneurship from a very young age. My mother at the same time was always encouraging me about my writing. She's the one who encouraged me to submit my first essay when I was 14 years old, which sold to 17 magazine. They both love books so much, and they both give me the impression that the sky is the limit. You can do anything. You just have to try, and that hard work is good. And also, you know, my grandmother has been a huge reader, and every time I talk to her for her entire life, she would say, "What are you wearing? And what are you reading?" And that always fostered my love of reading too. So I feel I had this great combination. Also, my mom's dad was an entrepreneur and started ran a business that made like trailer part windows and manufacturing back in the day in Ohio that became a whole big deal. So I have this model. And my other grandfather actually ran a store, a dry goods store in Philadelphia. So I come from a line of people who start their own things, who run things, who try hard, who sense a market need and work to it. And that's been laid out as my role models. So I'm very lucky in that way.
Well, I think there is a matter of luck, but there is also a matter of sweat and being able to stick to something and, you know, persist and make it successful. How did you get into the publishing business?
I didn't actually want to be a publisher. I really wanted to be an author myself from the time I was 9. And actually, my grandmother and grandfather ran this tiny little miniature book printing press. I have it here somewhere. I could have showed you. And I published this book when I was 9 called How the Donut Got Its Hole in the style of Rudyard Kipling. There was also a story, another story in it as well, Finders, Keepers, Losers, Weepers. Anyway, I realized at age 9 I wanted to be an author, and there wasn't a clear path to being an author necessarily. So I just tried. I have written many books along the way. I've had rejection. I've had recent success, but it has been a lifetime to get to the goal of my author self. And one of the things I did at the beginning when I heard that having a platform mattered and I had stayed home with my kids for 11 years, and even though I have an MBA and all this experience, none of it mattered when it came to writing fiction or memoir or anything. And someone suggested that I needed a platform and maybe I should start a podcast. And at the time, my kids were really young, and this was 6 years ago, and I had wanted to sell a book called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books because I thought that was hilarious. And I decided instead I would get to know authors by interviewing them on my podcast, similar to what we're doing here, 30-minute episodes. I started once a week. When the pandemic hit, I went to 7 times a week, and I kept that up for 4 years. So I've interviewed 2,000 plus authors. And along the way, I realized that so many of them were disappointed in their publishing journey. And I thought, and still think, authors are the biggest rock stars in the world. And how could they not have the best experience ever? So I decided to start a company that really celebrated them, treated them all like royalty, and also produced books that I love.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And what started you with the first book? What was the push that pushed you into the actual publishing of an author?
It was once I found someone who had started a publishing company, and I knew it was possible, right? I knew there was a roadmap to doing it because she had done it and she could teach me the basics. And it was, I kept talking to authors and saying, like, you should write a book and this and that. And our first book that we published was called My What If Year by Alicia Fernandez Miranda, about how she took a year off. She's also an entrepreneur, mother of twins, took a year off to try 4 jobs she always wished she'd tried, took 4 internships. And it's this whole, the whole company is really based on this. What if, like, and that there's always another chapter and it's never too late to try or rebuild or regroup. So I feel like the book is a great starting point for what we do as a company.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about getting started. I think that's half the battle when people say to me, how'd you start your newspaper business? And, how did you start your Power Women event? How'd you start your Power List events? You just start with one and you build. And
Yes, exactly.
some people think they can start at the top.
No. And it's like one thing after another. You know, I built this podcast. I have 14 million downloads or something, but it's been 6 years and it's one author at a time, one book at a time. There's no overnight success, at least for me. It's hard work all the time, but it's enjoyable work. And I think the combination of loving what you do, which I do, I'm sure you do too, and finding something that sort of strikes a chord and throwing yourself into it. I mean, I eat, sleep, and breathe books. This is like a dream. It's a dream come true.
It's funny you should say that because people say, "Oh, you work so hard." I said, "I do. I thought that I'm playing. My work is
Right?
working.
Yeah.
I play as my work."
Yep, I feel the same
I
way.
have the same fiber inside of you. And share with us a little bit about your recent project that I was so interested in. Tell us about
Yes.
the latest.
I'm so proud of this project. Normally at Zibi Books, my publishing house, we publish fiction and memoir. But this summer, responding to yet another bad news day for the Jewish people, I'm a Jewish woman. I've been pretty outspoken about my support and just trying to do what I can post October 7th. Prior to that, I had just been like a regular Jewish person. It wasn't like front and center in my identity, just something that I was. But this year has changed that entirely. And I feel like if you have a platform, you must speak out. And so I did, and so I do. I thought this summer how great it would be to have an anthology of all the voices of women who had co-founded an organization with me. There were 30 women authors who co-founded Artists Against Anti-Semitism, which we did in response to October 7th and raise money to fight anti-Semitism on college campuses and elsewhere. We're in a group chat, and I said, "Hey, I have this idea. Why don't we do an anthology? We can donate the profits to Artists Against Anti-Semitism." But I know how to do anthologies. I had edited two. One was Moms Don't Have Time To, and one was called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids, which I also thought was funny. Anyway, I knew how to write and edit anthologies, and I thought I could do this in my sleep. And actually, now I could publish it too, and we could get it out at the speed of light, much to the dismay of everybody on my team. But we made it happen, and I reached out to 200 authors. 75 said yes, they could do it within my 3-week deadline. And I curated this collection of 75 personal essays about what it means to be Jewish now and how it feels. The instructions were, this is not a political book. This is a celebration of being Jewish and a look at what it means and how things have changed since October 7th. So the essays, some are just pure Jewish joy, an essay about breakdancing at someone's bar mitzvah by the actor Mark Feuerstein, for example. There are some that tackle the anti-Semitism that's come lately, like Talia Karner, who I know you are well from, who are close with. We have a whole range from feeling betrayed by friendships post October 7th to being a Jewish girl and one of the only Jewish kids in the class, celebrating fabulous holidays and the joy of baking a fresh challah. There's a whole range, and the sum total of the book, which is available also in audiobook where all the contributors read their pieces, the feeling you get after reading it is joy, connection, community, and a true sense of hope and celebration about what makes the Jewish people really special. One that I hope that not just Jewish people read, but I really want other people to read it to get to know Jewish people as a group and what it means right now. The essays are from Australia, from Israel, from the US, and they really show how it feels. So I'm really proud of it. And it comes out October 1st in audiobook and ebook. And then in late October, technically November 1st, it comes out in paperback, but I'm pretty sure we're going to get it out early. But don't tell anyone I told you.
Well, I think with October 7th being a year and the hostages still being held, we can't put the spotlight often enough on the problem.
Yes.
And it's a human problem. It's not a Jewish problem.
Yes.
And I think that that's what I read one of the essays and I was so moved by it. I wanted to be able to reproduce some for my readers and encourage them to buy the book because we've got to have you buy the book. And the actual title of the book is going to be, how are you titling the
Oh,
anthology?
sorry. It's called On Being Jewish Now: Reflections from Authors and Advocates.
Okay. And I think, to have that general audience of people to read it makes a lot of sense. This is extraordinary that you were able to put this together so quickly. People don't realize what it takes. It could be years to get a.
Yes.
What is your secret ingredient that you're able to do this at that kind of speed?
Well, I'm lucky that I have the publishing house and we already had books in the works, so I could sort of press pause on some of our, not pause, but I could slot this in because I was not only the editor of the collection and a contributor, but also the publisher. And so I could edit an essay at 1 minute and then the next minute design, how each page should look and how much space are between lines on the page. And I also do all the publicity and the marketing. I mean, it's been like my passion project, and I do a million other things, as I mentioned. And but this has been something where I feel like I can make a difference. This is so important to me. And so every waking moment, I've been trying to figure out ways to get this book into the world, and my team felt similarly. And so we all prioritized it, and we just moved mountains to make it happen.
Well, the mountains were moved, and I'm interested in how you balance your family because I don't have to tell you. I know I've lived 4 children, and my passion business being my media company. So tell me, how do you balance your world? And I have a husband in there.
I have a husband. I have a second husband. I'm divorced and remarried, so I do have every other weekend without any kids, so I can catch up on my sleep or whatever else, although I really actually don't sleep. Who am I kidding? But I balance it by involving the kids in everything, and I have from day one. They have done podcasts with me. They come to the store. They rearrange and curate bookshelves in my store. They help me pick covers for the books we publish. I feel like the more I involve them in everything I do, the more excited that they are, the more invested they are. And there's never really a closed door as long as they're not on social media. But they're involved in anything and everything. And I feel that they all feel a huge sense of ownership because they have grown up with this, almost like this is their little brother or sister or something. So we all are trying to raise this thing together, and I think that really helps.
Well, I think, this is a woman's challenge. A mother is a mother is a mother. And even though you may have a father in the scene, a mother is a mother is a
Oh,
mother.
I know.
Oh, and I, you know, are there little vignettes you could share with somebody's experience with from your podcast, how people balance what you've learned from other women, their lives and their worlds with children?
I've definitely talked to a lot of authors who have to balance. I think the main thing people say is when they're on book tour, nobody asks a man like who's watching your kids. But a lot of women are like get asked this a lot. They're like, you're not asking James Patterson how he's dealing with his kids. So I think that it's okay. It's okay to go on book tour. It's okay to chase your success and dreams. It's okay. Your kids will learn from that and be inspired. You're not doing a bad job by leaving them to go on book tour. So that's something I hear from a lot of my guests.
Well, I think it's a very important message, and I think it comes into the real next point that I want to share with you and our listeners. is what secrets to success can you share with us? What can you recommend to other people to be successful as you have become?
I think you have to find something you're super passionate about. And I think you can't be afraid of things that are hard. When people say, like, oh no, that's going to be hard, I'm like, okay, great. Then let's figure out how to do it. So hard can't dissuade you, it has to inspire you.
Oh, I like that. That's a wonderful expression. Say it one more
I don't
time.
know. I just thought of it now.
Yes.
Hard can't dissuade you, it has to inspire you.
Yeah. So I think hard must inspire you, can be a short of your, three words out of your thought. And I think that's a wonderful way to end our conversation with Zibby Owens, who is the CEO of Zibby Media. I'm so proud of you. Congratulations on your continued success.
Thank you,
And
Vicki.
more books to all of us to share. What's more precious than having a book by your bedside?
Exactly. Thank you so much.
And this is Victoria Schnepp signing off our Power Woman, Zibby Owens. Until the next time, bye now.